Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 18 tonight. I want to talk to you tonight, Jeremiah 18. And the sermon title is It's Not Over. Somebody say, it's not over. Why is it not over? Because you're still breathing. Last week we talked about things that cause people to give up. Perspectives that cause people to give up. But tonight, much like that, but a little different nuance, we're going to talk about reasons to not give up. How many know there's some good reasons to not give up? And I want to share those reasons with you. They're very tangible, and they're real. People are silly to give up, but they think they're not. They've been deceived. And I want to put a carrot in front of you. Amen. I remember one time, this is years and years and years ago, and there was this little, like, he was maybe 2 years old, just a little guy. And his dad, you know what, had a thing of Coke. And he wanted the grandson to come in a certain way, and he didn't want to do it. But he put this Coke out in front of him like this. And that little guy would take 3 steps, and as soon as he would just get close to it, then the dad would push it back a little bit. And then the grandson would sit there and he'd start to cry. But then the grandfather would go, no, like this. And he got the grandson to come all. Here's what I'm saying. You know what? God's not like that. Because he'll put something good in front of you. But listen, but he won't jerk it back from you. He's a good God. But he will entice us. I said he will. Yes, he will teach you and entice you and he'll encourage you. And we live in a world that people get so discouraged and people just get fed up and people get, it's, listen, we live in such a pessimistic society, such a negative society, that you have to teach this. You have to remind people, no, it's not over. God's not done. You're not too old. You know what I mean? You're not too anything. God wants to work. God is just looking for people who will be optimistic. You know what it is? It's just people who will put their trust in him. Just people who will walk by faith and not by sight. People will say, no. God has got, you know what? And I'll say things because I want to get them in your mind. Like I've said it over and over again. The rest of the year is going to be the best of the year. Amen. I preach a sermon. You know what? The power of expectation. It's so critical that you have an expectation that you know why Peter walked on the water? Here's what Peter said. Peter said, Lord, if that's you, tell me to come out on the water. Well, who initiated that? Peter did. John could have said the same thing. Matthew could have said the same thing. Any of them could have said it. Hey, God, can I come out here? Can I come out too? Can I come out with Peter? I believe God would say, yeah, man, just get out. Right? That's what I believe. See, you know what? God isn't looking to withhold blessings from you. Think about it. Think through your knowledge of the word. Who does God say no to? Does he say no with the woman in the issue of blood? Does it say no to her? Does he say no to the blind man? Does he say no to the blind man? Does he say no to the man that had been at the pool of Bethesda? Does he say no to him? I mean, think about it. Who does God say no to? God is just looking for people who will be optimistic. And here's what I'm telling you. It is not time for us to give up. So I'm going to bait you tonight. I'm going to encourage you tonight. I'm going to be that person who has that promise and says, no, just stand up and walk towards it. Just make a step towards that. Just go forward. Just get up. Just come. Some of you have gotten, some of you move forward towards God with simply you just coming tonight. Hello, somebody. And if the only reason you came tonight was out of just a religious tradition to come to church, you know what? Let God stir something up inside you that you say, I don't need to just come to church because I came to church last week. I need to come to church with a hunger for God. I need to shake myself up. I need to take myself and say, no, I've got to have God in my life. And for many of us, we've been saved for a long time. We've been in the body of Christ. We've been Christians for a long time. But I hear God stirring something up in us. Men, in the coming weeks, I'm going to ask you to make a commitment to Christ. I'm going to ask you to make a... I was talking to my wife today, and God just was stirring something up. And I'm going to ask the men to make a commitment to live a life, you know what, of sexual purity. I'm not going to be negative towards any man at all. I'm just going to say, you know what? Of course you have opportunities. Of course you have challenges. Of course you're a sexual being. So don't, you know what? There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm tired of the condemnation that takes place in the body of Christ, and it is not going to exist here. But neither is this put my head in the sand and act like we don't have some challenges. Man, you got some challenges. So, you know what? Not tonight, but I'm going to ask you to stand. Not tonight, but I'm going to ask you to stand up, and I'm going to be committed to you to teach you, you know what, how to get out of to get out of lust. I don't know to what degree you are bound. I don't even know if you're bound at all. For all I know, you're absolutely walking consistently in a daily, you know what, call to clean, you know what, living. There's no condemnation in this. But here's my commitment. I am going to, you know what, meet with you once a month and teach you what I learned, each breadcrumb that got me out of my lust issue and got me into sexual purity, where I have walked and I continue to walk, and I've been walking in it for a long time. And I don't say that to be braggadocious. I just say that to say, guys, there is a place of freedom. There is a place of wholeness. I don't care how long you, and for many Christian men, they have been bound. They have tried to get out. And each time that they get out, each time that they fall back, Satan comes in and he just will. You know what he does? He seduces you to reduce you. And you can have the Christian facade like you don't have an issue. I'm just telling you, there's no condemnation in those in Christ Jesus. All I'm going to do, I will be committed to you, but I will be asking men to stand up in front of everyone and not make a confession of your bondage, but just make a confession that you are going to be committed to once a month allowing your pastor to teach you. And you'll either be in two places. You'll either already be free and you're going to love this, or you're going to be in bondage and you're going to love this. Amen. But if you understand there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus, then you know what? To some extent, we're all free anyway. Amen. So let's allow, you know what? So let's allow teachers and trainers and pastors and people who have been called to this kind of teaching ministry to help teach us to get us free and delivered. Can somebody say amen to this? Now, watch this. That's to the men, but there's a bigger, and that came out of something that I just said earlier. There's got to be a stirring up in us. The calling in this church is to move mightily in the body of Christ. I've been studying this out and praying it out and praying it through and figuring it out. And God has been sharing with me so much. And the reason why we're as strong a church as we are is simply a few people that are just been crazy lights in a dark world. And what I'm seeing is that, you know what, that the people that are going 30 miles an hour, the call to your life is to go to 90 miles an hour. Hello? And so what's going to happen in this church is there's going to be a shaking. That's why I'm saying some of you, thank God you're here. But there's not a real excitement to go, wow, today's going to be revolution. You know what? It's just kind of a like, well, I'm here because I was here last week or the week before, and that's kind of what I do. And listen, thank God that you're committed to church, because to some degree, that's a commitment to Christ. And Tamara and I are appreciative of that. But here's what I'm saying. You know what? God is needing you to be the light, for you to be the spark, for you to be figure out who is the most on fire for Christ in this church, and make a decision that you're going to be on fire like that person. Amen. See, because if you'll make that commitment, if you'll stop accepting, I preached a sermon recently. It was called Run to the Middle. How many remember this sermon? If you will stop accepting your run to the middle, you're accepting a C+. No. We got no time for C+. Amen. See, I need all of you to not be satisfied with just a mediocrity Christianity. And I hear God just taking us and raising us up, and through the power of my words tonight, just saying, no, you're the one that God's looking for. You say, but Pastor, I'm not a C+, I'm a B+. Well, God's not looking for a B+, amen? God's looking, listen, and it's not saying, I salute you for your B+. Really, I appreciate your, because you know why you got a B+? Because you are committed. But here's what I want to say to you. God is saying, you know what? Take that, you know what? You got the kitchen clean. You got the garage clean. You got your bedrooms clean. But there's a junk drawer. But there's a junk drawer that God wants. There's a junk drawer that God wants. You got a blanket. You got a security blanket and you've held on to it. And I don't know what it is. For some of you, you have been raised in a, you know what, in a mentality of never enough and never enough and never enough. And that insecurity has caused you to hold on. And you just won't, you know what God is speaking to you and saying, no, listen, you need to let go. You need to trust me in your finances. You need to trust that what I've asked you to do, I'll take care of you. Just let it go. But you've had that fear and you've gripped it and you've held it and whatever it is, it comes down to control. We need to lose control. We need to throw our insecurities into a fire. We need to throw our traditions into a fire. We need to throw these things that have held us down for years and just let go and say, God, you take it, let it burn. Burn my insecurities. Burn my fears. You know what? I throw them into, you know what, the fire. And watch the pure gold. You know what, that will come out. You know what the Bible said? That there are vessels in a house. There's all kinds of different vessels. And God isn't the one who's choosing. Oh, you're a vessel of gold. You're a vessel of silver. But you're just a vessel of wood. You're just a vessel of clay. Read it in the context. In the context, it says that those who are vessels of wood or clay can become vessels of gold. And you know why? Because God, you know what it says? Because it were we just reading that? Is that just in our scripture? We're just reading that today. Oh yeah, I read the Bible. Amen. When do I read the Bible? Every day. Amen. It's amazing what it'll read if you just read your child. I knew that was familiar. Anyway, that was our Bible reading today. Why? Because here's what he says. He says that you would be a let's turn to it. What? Second Timothy. Yeah, yeah. Let's. Oh, somebody help me. Yeah. Okay, it was yesterday. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting with verse 21. Okay, starting with verse 20. 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting with verse 20. But in a great house there are there not vessels, only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some of honor and some of dishonor. Are you guys with me? Yeah. Watch this. Therefore, if anyone cleanses, what's that next word there? Hello? Who's got a drawer that needs to be cleansed? Who's got a drawer that needs to be cleansed? Who came to church? Who came to change? Who's got a willingness to say, you know what, I've got a drawer and I'm going to throw it if you will be willing. If you are. You see that? Therefore, if anyone desires, cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor. Watch this. Sanctified and useful. I underline this. Useful for the master. How many want to be useful for the master? Well, listen, you can't be useful for the master and hang on to that that drawer that is causing a mess in your life. God is shaking. And God is saying, guys, I can use any of you. I don't care what you did. I don't care what you did last year. I don't care what you did last week. I don't care what you did last month. I'm just looking for, I'm shaking you today. You know what the day, you know the Bible says, today is the day of wholeness. Today is the day for you to come clean. Today is the day for you to say, God, I want to be used. I want to, I am tired of tolerating, you know what, my bad attitude, my unforgiveness, my self-centeredness, my selfishness, my stinginess. I'm tired of all that. I just want to be used of you. Take it all. I want to be, I want, if anyone cleanses himself. He said, but Pastor, I can't cleanse myself. Well, you, yeah, that, to some extent, I get that. That's true. Christ cleanses us. But you can, but you know what? You play a vital role. How come I know that? Because the Bible says that. Don't, let me just tell you something. You can't get better theology than the Bible. And when you come, well, nobody, you can't cleanse yourself. Well, the Bible says you can. How do you cleanse yourself? Come boldly to the throne of grace and receive mercy in a time of need. Just listen, stop denying your junk and admit your junk. Stop denying your junk. Stop saying, no, 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 stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. We all got a battle. If you're a man, let me tell you what, if you're a man, you have challenges. Amen. I love this book because for the first time, this absolutely delivered me. I mean, it was the start. It was my first breadcrumb. And it was probably one of the biggest ones I got because two men had the integrity to come and say, I was jacked up. I was an elder in a church, and I was bound to lust, and I was jacked up. And that was revelation to me. It was encouraging me to me because I thought I was the only one. You're not the only one. You're not the only one. And listen, and if you buy this book tonight, what is somebody going to think? Hey, what's God going to think about you? And ladies, can I teach you something? If your husband buys this book, you know what? You don't do anything but give him a big kiss and say, you know what? You're a man of integrity. You're a man of God. I'm proud of you. You know what? Because let me tell you what. You know what? Let me tell you, ladies, what we need. We need some cheerleaders. Amen. You know what? Don't condemn your husband because he's got issues that you don't. Ladies, you can say big amen to this. No, just don't. Just don't. Just don't. Just don't. Just don't. Just don't. What the Holy Spirit has spoke to us from the beginning of the year, there is no condemnation. We are not to judge. It's not our position. And even, you say, yeah, but the Bible says, I thought, Pastor, you taught us that we were to judge in the body of Christ. Exactly, but it's not judgmental. Even if you are your brother's keeper. But understand this, before you correct anyone, get the log out of your own eye. Amen? Yeah, the New King James says, get the plank out of your own eye. Yeah, judge, but judge yourself, man. Why? Because then you're going to, you know what you're going to do? You're going to have compassion. Amen. You're going to have compassion on people. We don't need to be critical, judgmental. You know what? Holier than thou. Oh, I've, you know, yeah. Well, thank God that you have reached a degree of spirituality and holiness. I praise God. You should have. We should be going from glory to glory, to faith to faith. But who's going to get all the credit? Give God the credit, amen? Because he loved you out of your mess. Is somebody learning something tonight? Is somebody learning something tonight? So all I'm saying is God has got a place for all of us to move forward. I was so, Sunday, let me just tell you what happens to me. I'm so blessed because, it's going to sound funny, but I tell you what, I love the sermons on Sunday. Thank you, somebody said me too. But I probably love them even more than you do, and here's why. Because I probably get even more out of them than you do. I hope you come hungry. Such a key to receiving from God is you know what? Have you ever done this? Haven't eaten all day, and about 4:30, you're like, man, I'm so hungry. And you eat something that you've eaten before, but that day it was like, man, I don't understand. This Wendy's burger is the best burger in the world. Well, you had that Wendy's burger a lot and was just not even that good. But today it was good. Why? Here's why. Because you were hungry. You were hungry. You were ready to receive that. But God is speaking to me and he's showing me that if we will just, like Sunday, if we will just corporately look at ourselves, shake ourselves, like what God spoke Sunday, you know what? To not to not be provoked. Just a simple thing that we're going to make a decision that no one for any reason can provoke us.
Amen, amen, amen.
That man is a man that is going to be now led by the Spirit and controlled by the Spirit, not all these ungodly people that are going to cause him to react ungodly. He's not a reactor. He's an actor. He's proactive. That's what God is saying to us. Shake yourself up. Make a decision. Make a decision tonight. Make a decision today. Make a decision wherever you're at that, you know what, today is going to be the first day of the rest of your life. That, and even if you're on fire for Christ, that today you're going to be more on fire for Christ. And let me tell you what's going to happen. You know what people do who get on fire? This is what I see. Please, somebody catch this. Somebody who's on fire gets other people on fire. You know, there's something called instantaneous combustion. You know what it means? Here's what it means. It means that if this speaker is burning, it can get so hot, it can reach a degree of temperature where this speaker doesn't even have to touch, you know what, this Christmas tree or that Christmas tree over there. You know, it can get so hot in this room, that speaker can be so hot and can create such heat that this Christmas tree, without any direct flames, can all of a sudden just go. It's called instantaneous combustion. This room a room like this could get so hot that instantaneously all the decorations could just burst in flames without any direct correlation or connection. That's how you can be. Smith Wigglesworth, who was just a plumber. Somebody say, just a plumber. But he became on fire for Christ, and he became compassionate for people without Christ, and God started using him mightily, and he'd get on a train, and people, when he got on the train, would cry out and repent of sin that they have committed, with him even not saying anything. What was happening? Spontaneous combustion on somebody who was so on fire for Christ. Can you get so committed to Christ? Can you get so on fire for Christ? Can you spend so much time in the presence of the Lord? You say, Pastor, I don't have time to be on presence. I'm too busy. I got to work, and I got grandkids, and I got kids, and I got responsibilities, and I got, you know, all this stuff. Oh, my goodness, you're missing it. You can get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And God can give you a heavenly language that you can pray with a unknown, with a language that you don't know, but it's from heaven. Yeah. Pastor, where do you get that? Read your Bible. Jesus prophesied about it. He said that anyone who believes, say anybody who believes. No, but Pastor, I just thought that was for certain people, because the Bible says, you know what, that he gave some this and some that and some. I know that, but read it. Can I teach you something? The Bible doesn't contradict itself. If you read in Corinthians, where the Bible says that God gives some this and some that and some this, and you walk away and say, oh, well, I know, you know what? But Jesus said, speaking of tongues, he said of tongues. He said, anyone who believes, you know what, will speak with new tongues. You say, well, what is it? Well, if you study it out in 1 Corinthians, Paul is talking about the manifestations in a church. And what he's saying is the Holy Spirit will, in a church, say, I want you to do this now, and I want you to do this now, and I want you to do this now. And he'll orchestrate the whole thing, but it's not for everyone to do it. This is good teaching. That was the problem in the Corinthian church, that Paul was bringing this correction, saying, hey, guys, you all come together, and you're all doing the same thing. And somebody comes in and you're speaking in a language, and it's beautiful and it's awesome and God gave it to you, but you're not doing it with discipline. And it is a mess. And what it's about is it's about more about you than someone else. Stick with me. But we've taken that and we have misunderstood it. And you look at it right in the context, it's talking about, it's the manifestations. He's talking about in a church service that God would orchestrate you and you and you and you. Not everyone. But we've taken that out of context and said, yeah, Pastor, see, you know what? I know somebody has that gift. I just don't have that gift of tongues. Okay. If that's true, then what are you going to do about Jesus and his prophetic word where he says, everyone, anyone who believes can speak in tongues. And everyone who does believe will speak with new tongues. That's what he says. What are you going to do with that? See, you better watch who, you better watch, you know what, you better be careful what you're listening to. Because there's a lot of men with great, sincere hearts that have just missed it on this one in a mile. Just missed it. What am I saying? I'm saying, why does God want to grab our tongues? Anybody got an answer on this one? Why do you think your tongue is so important to God? Why does the Holy Spirit want to grab it? Why does he want to get a hold of it? Why? Because that's where the power is. From your mouth shouldn't come blessings and cursings. You allow the Holy Spirit to grab it. And then you allow the Holy Spirit to Pastor, but what are you? This is a Pentecostal. This has nothing to do with a denomination. This has to do with God grabbing us and shaking us and teaching us something. We have lost this. We have left this. This is, you know what, for years and years and years, the church forgot what worship was about. We lost it. We lost the intimacy with God. And thank God the church has grabbed it now. That we can come in churches and there can be an intimacy with the Holy Spirit through the musicianship. That's God. For years and years and years, that was lost in the church. What I'm saying is, there's a place, guys. Where are you at? Because what I hear the Holy Spirit is saying, move from where you're at to a better place, to a bigger place, to a place. Yeah, but I don't feel comfortable in that. Well, get used to being uncomfortable. The object of God, you were placed on this. The object of God is that you be comfortable. Amen. And listen, and church should be one of the most uncomfortable. Oh, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. The church should be one of the places that you feel most uncomfortable. Why? Why? I don't understand that. Because, you know what Paul says? Paul says this. Let me just quote the word. Paul says, do I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? See, in the last days, men will become lovers of self rather than lovers of God. And they'll seek people out that will just tickle their ears. Just tell them, don't tell them anything different than what they've heard before. Don't tell them anything challenging. Don't tell them anything that would cause them, don't slap around their flesh any. Don't do that. Man, I want, listen, I'm not talking about, you know what, oh yes, Pastor preached a hard sermon. It was good. He was in our face tonight. And then leave and not change. This isn't about a tongue lashing for the sake for you to go, yes, listen. Having heard isn't having done. Me preaching a strong sermon that challenges you and you walking out, whoa, what a challenge today. But there's no change. That's not challenge. Me preaching isn't you doing. It's just me preaching. Are you catching this? Me preaching isn't you doing. Yeah, but I heard it. Well, why do you think James says, don't, this is so good. Why do you think James says, don't be just a hearer and not a doer? Watch this. Oh, my goodness. Then he says, deceiving yourself. Oh, praise God, man. Man, you know, Pastor Tamron, you and Pastor Drew, you gotta hear what he said, man. He brought it today. And you walk out and don't do any different. Your actions are the same they were the week before, and the week before, and the week before, and the week before, and the year before, and the month before. And you think because you heard something that means you did something. And that's why Paul says, he's talking to Christians. Here's the deal. Deceiving yourself. Think about tonight. I'll close with this. Tonight. What is the Holy Spirit? You know what? Ask him. Holy Spirit, what is it that you are? Holy Spirit, what is it that you are most grieved about in my life? And listen, and then just allow him to talk to you. And do me a favor. Before you ask, have a pen in your hand and have something ready to write down. Show him your seriousness. I guarantee you he will talk to you. Why? How can I guarantee it? The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. The Bible says, you have not because you ask not. If you will ask him, I guarantee you, he will point out to you the area, the number one. Ask him, God, show me the number one area that you are grieved with in my life. But don't just ask him. Write it down, and before he tells you what it is, before he tells you what it is, you make a commitment to you that you're going to do whatever it is he tells you to do. Amen. Oh, yes, yes. The Holy Spirit told me, comb my hair differently. Oh, well, boy, that really cost you a lot, didn't it? See, what I'm saying is, I don't think the Holy Spirit is going to tell you about combing your hair differently. He's going to tell you something, and it will challenge you. Because I'm asking you to ask him, what's the number one issue? Well, let me tell you what. That's the last time I'm going to that church. I'm out of there, man. I'm gonna find. Hey, listen, can I tell you what? I love you. You can do whatever you want to do. But here's what I do want to tell you. If you do go to another church, and I don't know how long it'll be. I don't know if it'll be 4 weeks or 4 months or 4 years or 44 years. But here's what I am telling you. And you can trust me on this. This is the absolute truth. When you're finally tired of walking the consequences of your disobedience tonight to what he's asked you to do, and you go back to him and you say, God, what is it? He'll tell you the exact same thing that he'll tell you tonight. That's what he'll tell you. Because let me tell you what. When you stop being blessed, go back to the last place where you were disobedient. And he'll tell you the exact same thing. And I guarantee you, he won't tell you that because he doesn't love you. He'll tell you that because that is the very thing that you need to have a willingness to get that out of your life. That you would say, God, I want to be a vessel of honor. I want to be used. I don't want to be the wood vessel that never can be used. Because God is always going to the vessel of gold. and the good vessel of silver. Now, what I'm saying to you as a church corporately is that's what God's called us to. And for too long, we think there's certain people in the church. Well, that's like Brian-ish. That's like, you know what? That's like Tony-ish. You know, that's like, you know what? I mean, Aline acts like that. They are the elders in the church. They are that. No, listen. We are all saints. And I don't care if you've been saved for 3 days. God is saying, I don't have a lot of time. I'm going to put you on a quick study. Let's get in line. You look at Joel. Joel's a great example. Joel's only been saved for like, you know what, four years. Come on. You know, he's more mature than pastors that I know. That sounds negative. I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just trying to be real. And you can be that way too. Here's what I'm saying. Not only can you be that way, God's calling you to be that way. God's calling us up. Hallelujah. All right. And I got great notes that I'll teach to you next week. Amen? Amen? Father, we just I pray that these words have been encouraging to us. I pray that people will go home, have a pen, and tonight ask before they go to bed, God, what's the number one thing that's displeasing you? With a heart to be integrous, to be obedient to the thing that you've asked. And not only that one thing, but have a willingness to, if there needs to be a list, that would write out 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. I thank you for all this. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.